Let's turn to Daniel chapter 3 here tonight. Daniel chapter 3. I don't intend to be too long. I know some of you have some things going on afterwards. And trying to get home from with some snow on the roads and stuff like that. So Daniel chapter 3. Of course, I'm not promising anything. Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3, verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits, set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes and governors and the captains and the judges and the treasurers and the counselors and the sheriffs, and he wanted to make sure everybody's there, all the rulers of the provinces, to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And then the princes and the governors and the captains and the judges, got to make sure everybody's there. Treasurers and sheriffs and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together in the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up." There's a lot of lists here. "And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore, at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon." I mean, these are not just peons. These are people set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, didn't take him long to get mad, did it? "Commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if you be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made, well, but if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Let's pray. Now, Father, we come here for some admonition tonight, just to be encouraged. And we're aware of where we live. We know it's called a evil world, present evil world. We know that in the end, this entire world is deceived by the devil. We know that he's the god of this world right now. And Lord, we have to be absolutely vigilant and diligent about undertaking to overthrow his strongholds in our hearts and minds. And we have to be on constant guard in this respect. We pray that you would help us here tonight in this regard. And just as an encouragement, Father, help us be reminded what we're supposed to be and how we're supposed to be. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this passage, of course, is a very famous passage. All of you know the story well enough, aside from the fact that we just read a good deal of it. And there are some lessons in here, I think, that are worth mentioning. It's worthwhile to mention, perhaps, that one of the things that men do is they fabricate their own gods, don't they? Here's Nebuchadnezzar. He's a great king. And even he is so vain as to, when you know he comes into power and has the power to do so, to build this huge, gargantuan, gigantic image, presumably of himself, and then demand that people worship him. I mean, people, they make their own gods. It says here in this passage, I think I counted 9 or 10 times that he set it up. Over and over again, he set it up, the image that he had set up. It tells us a little bit about ourselves. It tells us a little bit about where we came from. Most all of us are Gentiles, and maybe all of us are Gentiles. I don't know if there are any former Jews here or not. But our stock is a stock of idolaters. If you're of Germanic stock, then before that, Gothic stock, perhaps, you know, Western Europeans and Brits, I tell you what you were. You were idolaters. That's what you were. And then you came over here, and because we're born in America, and if you're not careful, the idolatry takes back over again. So, first of all, men fabricate their own gods, don't they? And men do so because they're deceived. They do so because they're mad. I like the verse in Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 38, which says that the men are, they're mad upon their idols. And I don't mean they're upset. I don't mean they're mad. I mean they're crazy. They're insane. They're mad upon their idols. Sometimes you look around at, you know, people shopping for Christmas and stuff at Best Buy and Circuit City and Walmart, Menards, and all that, and you begin to see that men are kind of mad upon their idols. If you just go ding somebody's brand new Lexus, you'll find out how mad he is about his idol. And you know, that's how things go, right? Well, anyway, men do so because they're deceived and mad. And you learn in this passage that when push comes to shove, a man will kill you over religious differences. Of course, you would have known that if you'd read Genesis pretty carefully, right? First few chapters of Genesis, it doesn't take long for the first two brothers to wind up killing, you know, one of them to kill the other. Men will kill over religious differences. And here in this passage, King Nebuchadnezzar gets in a good position and winds up being the lawmaker. And it doesn't take him very long to establish the fact that he's got a god he's going to make. And after he's made it, he'll kill you if you don't worship it. And folks, America is a little bit of an anomaly. That's not typically the way that we've done things here in this country, thank God, right? But there are far more countries in this world that have and do kill people for not worshiping the proper gods than most of us care to think. And I don't need to get into all that. But the other thing you see here is that people are very zealous for their gods. I'm glad that I'm a Christian. I'm glad that I don't kill people for my God. Aren't you? Aren't you glad you're not a medieval Roman Catholic who was commanded to go out and kill people for his God? Aren't you glad you're not a Muslim? I mean, I just soon not have to wipe myself all over the street in order to get to heaven. You know what I'm saying? I'm just glad for that. But you learn here in this passage some things about that. And you notice here it doesn't take Nebuchadnezzar very long, once challenged, to go into an absolute rage. When you get down to verse 13, it takes him just that long, just long enough to be told that there are three fellows that didn't bow, and he went into a rage and fury immediately. Then go on down to verse 18, but if not be known unto thee, you know, they tell him they're not going to bow to his gods, and boy, that really set him off. Verse 19, then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. He was just a little bit mad before. And the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one seven times more than it was wont to be heated. He exceeded the manufacturer's guidelines. Verse 20. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. And he was so mad that the fellows that they carried him up there were stricken by the heat themselves. All that just kind of leads up to some things, but it points out, ladies and gentlemen, that this world, left to itself, without the kind of influences that we historically have had in America, that this world is very intolerant of people of our stripe. Now, I'm not trying to be paranoid, and I'm really not. And I'm not trying to give anybody here a complex about it or anything like that. That's not really the goal here. But it is worthwhile to remember that left to itself, this world has a god, a small g god, and he's Satan. And in the end, what he inspires is intolerance toward people like you, Bible believers, Christians, people that believe in God. And I don't offer you tonight a way around a way to get along with them. I don't offer you a seminar tonight on how to love Jesus and get along with the world too. The best thing I can tell you to do is to come out from among them and be you separate. Live as best you can separate and don't rub shoulders any more than you have to, and you're going to have to some, right? But in the end, no matter what you do, they're going to find you out, and in the end, left to themselves, they'll try to kill you. Now, again, I'm not trying to incite any kind of paranoia here, but I did want you to see that these Hebrews, these three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these three guys were charged with an offense. They were indicted, and they were actually indicted and convicted in the highest court of the land, which was, you know, the king's court. And these guys were ready to be executed. In fact, they thought they had executed them for the sake of their religion. And it was all for standing against the world. There was an accusation. There were accusations, I should say, that was against them. And I'm not trying to incite any of us to paranoia. I don't feel like necessarily that anybody's stalking me and that the Catholics are going to carry me away and put me in a dungeon somewhere and kill me tonight or anything like that. But I would like you to take note, and I would like to say that maybe we should all be guilty of the same indictment that these three fellows were guilty of. And this is very simple here, here tonight, just very plain stuff, just as an encouragement. You know, the world is always there, and the world never says, oh, go away. Did you notice that? The world never says, no, you just go away. The world always says, come to Papa or Mama, whatever. The world always is beckoning. It's always alluring. You're never, you know, as a Christian, you know, your standards are never far enough. They go, oh, you're too far off, just go away, and we'll leave you alone. It's never like that, right? You're going to always be drawn back. And with that kind of pressure, all the time, day in and day out, even when you're not watching TV, even when you don't have a magazine, a slick magazine, you know, your nose in a slick magazine, the allurement of the world is still, it's still toward the world. It's a magnetism. And you have to be on guard against that. And I wanted you to see what these Hebrew children were indicted of, and you'll be able to draw pretty quickly the parallels between them and us. First of all, I wanted you to see, and the title of this message is The World's Indictment, but I wanted you to see that the Hebrew children did not consent with the majority. Now, this is real simple stuff. Anybody knows that. Anybody's heard preaching on that from this pulpit and all that. But would you take note that one of the things that they were indicted of was that everybody else is doing it. Why can't you just do it? They were indicted of not consenting with the majority. These three fellows stood up like pins in a bowling alley. Everybody else is down on their face like all good Muslims. These three guys were standing square, straight up, and refused to bow. I want you to see that they did not consent with the majority. That was their first indictment. It didn't take somebody very long to go tell on them. They did not consent with the majority. The majority's always been wrong. Did you know that? The majority was wrong when it basically insisted that Samuel give them a king. The majority was wrong in Noah's day. There were only 8 people that came out of that. In Micaiah's day, Micaiah the prophet, the majority was wrong. In Elijah's day on Mount Carmel, the majority was wrong. In Jesus' day, at Jesus' trial, they were all of one consent, crucify him. They were wrong. At Stephen's stoning, the majority was wrong. The majority's never been right about spiritual things. As a matter of fact, very often it's not right about anything. I mean, if 4 + 4 = 8, they're right about that, where they still know that. But as far as, you know, most of the things that we deal with in the Bible, the waypoints and the landmarks that are important to us, they're always wrong about it. They don't appreciate the blood like you appreciate that. They don't think anything of the blood of Jesus Christ. The majority's wrong. Folks, most of the time these days, the majority of Christians are wrong. It's not just a civil war between lost people and saved people. It's a civil war between saved people and saved people. There's all kinds of saved people you need to stay away from. Because the majority is wrong. The majority is usually wrong about most things. And with regard to that, folks, the majority does have its appeal, doesn't it? I mean, it does appeal to you. There's so There is something that feels so safe about numbers. There is something that feels so safe about getting down on your knees on your prayer shawl with everybody else when the music starts. But these three guys stood up like I said, three pins at a bowling alley. You know, what they were indicted of, first of all, was not consenting with a majority. You're in a cult, you know that? You're a fanatic, you know that? You're a Jesus freak, you know that? You're one of those fundamentalists, you know that? You know, all that means is that you didn't consent with them. They resent that. And it's more than a resentment, it's an indictment. In the end, if the Lord doesn't come back and get us out of here, I don't know that it's going to happen in the next 2 years. But before it's all over with, and by the time this country is completely paganized, by the time this is over, this will be like Rome, since everybody's trying to be like Rome. I mean, you can't turn on PBS or National Geographic these days without making sure that America is compared to Rome. Well, folks, in Rome, it was against the law to be what you are. You didn't have to say anything. All you had to do was be what you are, a Christian, and you were an enemy of the state. Now, I'm not suggesting that that's where we're going, you know, anytime before January. But given enough time, that's where we'll be. I mean, folks, if you don't think you can go get yourself killed for being a Christian in India, you've been smoking funny stuff, right? These fellows, their indictment was that they did not consent with a majority. I'm not saying that you shouldn't consent with a majority so that you can get attention. I'm not saying that you shouldn't consent with a majority so that you can be contentious. I'm saying that you shouldn't consent with a majority because they're wrong. Because that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. It's just not that hard. These fellows were indicted for not consenting with the majority. And that's where you sit tonight. Now, there's something else that I wanted you to see. I wanted you to see by the time you get down to verse 10, thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image, and whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And you'll take note that these fellows did not regard the word of men. They did not consent to the majority, and they did not regard the word of man. Nebuchadnezzar made a decree, and he was the king. Now, folks, I am all for you obeying the king and the magistrates insofar as you possibly can. Don't coast through stop signs. Put on your seatbelt. Sometimes. I would suggest that you not carry a gun around if you don't have a permit. I would suggest a whole lot of things. I'm all for you, as you well know, obeying the law insofar as possible, but don't let them take your Bible. Hold tight to your Bible, because somewhere along the way, they're going to tell you to do something against your Bible. And if it's against your Bible, it's against God. And they're going to tell you that they know better than God, that the word of man and the tradition of man and what man's decided is better than that old-fashioned God and that old-fashioned book by that God that you worship. And I got news for you. They're wrong again. One of the things that you will be indicted for is not regarding the word of men. You cannot raise your kids like them people raise their kids. And I know that that's not grammatically correct. You cannot raise your kids like they raise their kids and expect for them to come out loving God. You cannot. You cannot. There's a lot of things that you cannot do. Most people today accept men's persons readily. When Clinton was elected, all the women said they voted for him because he was cute, which I don't understand. And with this recent election, I guess they voted for him because he's smart, eloquent, something. They voted for him for some reason, but we are just not very hard to manipulate, are we? But you know all it is. It's all image, and it's all about men's persons. Men are married to tradition. They're caught up with the majority thing. They're caught up with the way we've done things. You know, sometimes we are, you'll find people that are loyal beyond the bounds of any kind of reason. You ever heard somebody say, well, you know, this guy's a dirty, rotten scumbag, but he's my friend, so I'm loyal to him. Why would you feel loyalty to somebody like that? You say, well, because he's my friend. Well, be his friend. I mean, try to win him to Christ in that. But if you're somebody's friend just because you've always been their friend, what kind of grass you been smoking? That's not right. That's not right. You see, these fellows were indicted for not consenting with the majority. They were indicted for not regarding the word of men. These three guys regarded, thus saith the Lord. Everybody else regarded anything else. Men's demeanor, men's manner of speech, their degrees, their education, their positions, their pleasantness of speech, their eloquence of speech, their deluded perceptions about this, that, or the other. But in the end, all they did was that they regarded men, the word of men. These fellows were indicted. Their charge, and they were ready to be executed, was for not following the word of men. You got to be careful with that, amen? If there's ever been a day that it should be easy for a Bible believer to see that you can't follow the word of men, it should be today. I mean, folks, really. I mean, I could understand somebody being a little confused 100 years ago about evolution, maybe. I don't know about now. I don't know why anybody even wrestles with it. Okay? I don't know why some people wrestle, you know, these days with the whole psychology, psychiatry thing. It's just not that hard to see. Okay? Why do you take the word of men? What would possess somebody to spend a lifetime listening to some guy who doesn't even open a Bible tell you how he thinks you'll get to heaven when he doesn't know for sure he's going there? Why would you take his word when you can go to this word and find where it promises you irrevocably eternal life? I don't know. These fellows were indicted because they did not regard the word of men. I want you to notice something else. Look down in verse 11. Look down in verse 11. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth that he should be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the prince of province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee, and they serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. They did not consent with the majority. They did not regard the word of man, and they did not esteem the God and the gods of this world. They did not esteem them. They did not regard them. They did not think highly of them. As a matter of fact, they thought badly of them. Down in verse 12, first of all, they did not fall down. That'd be verse 11. Whoso falleth not down, they did not fall down. Falling down would be, and worshiping there, that would be outward, right? For instance, those fellows could have fallen down, but inwardly have been going, I am not down. I do not worship this piece of junk, but I am fallen down because I tripped. You see, the falling down part could be an outward show, right? And sometimes men will put on an outward show just to get by. I'm not talking about your Christianity. I'm talking about sometimes men will put on an outward show to appear to get along with everybody else. These guys wouldn't even put on an outward show. They wouldn't even fall down. I know all kinds of Christians that would say, well, you know what? The best way to get through this is for us just to fall down and sing our own little song in our hearts while the music is playing, and we'll get back up and be good, and nobody knows the difference. And that could be true. But they were, they did not fall down. They stood up. I think there should be less falling down. Now, I'm not talking about falling to sin. I'm talking about I think there should be less conformity. Be not outward conformity. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay? They did not conform. They did not fall down. Their pants were not down to here in the back. They did not have earrings. They did not have a ghetto hat on. You couldn't pay me to put a ghetto hat on. If you ever see me with a ghetto hat on, I'm dead. Or I'm immobile and somebody knocked me out and put it on me. I ain't wearing a ghetto hat. See, I just think there's too much conformity. Don't you? Don't you think so? In this passage, they did not fall down. There was no outward show. But it also says in verse 11, whoso falleth not down and worshipeth. Now, they didn't fall down, but they also didn't worship inside either. Okay, sometimes somebody doesn't fall down, but inside, they wish they were down. And you got to be careful with that. Folks, there was one of the things that I take encouragement out of this and that I take to myself. You know, there was no inward reverence of these three fellows for that piece of junk image up there before them. There was not any inward reverence. They did not respect it. They did not regard it. And there should be a lot less respect for the gods of this world. There should be a lot less respect. There should be a lot less regard. It goes on to say down in verse 12, these men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image. Well, they didn't fall down, they didn't worship, but they also did not serve. See, that golden image did not affect their lives any. I believe that this world's gods should not affect your lives any. I mean, imagine every time a bell rings, you got to go find your prayer shawl and get out on your knees. Well, that would get irritating. Don't you think? Imagine, you know, tooling around and you're living within sound of the, within sight of this stupid image. And every time the king decides it's time to ring the bell and play the music, everybody's got to stop what they're doing. Well, you know, maybe I've been an American for too long. I'm not interested in that. I'm not interested in, you see, my life should be unaffected by the gods of America. Okay? When Mother Teresa died, if you think for a minute it bothered me, when Princess Di, that glorious, you know, woman on the front of all the covers that all the women in America seem to just adore and love and wow, you know, man, when she kicked off, I didn't regard it. I'm not trying to be nasty, and I'm sorry she's in hell. I really am. But I didn't regard it. It didn't bother me. Did it bother you? See, my life is unaffected by the gods, for the most part, in America. I don't care who made what movie. I don't care that somebody that made a movie that I liked and I liked their character is now a drug addict. It didn't do anything to my heart. It didn't bother me any. Right? You should be unaffected by the gods of this world. See, their lives were unaffected. You see, they did not esteem the gods of this world. You know what drives them crazy about you? What drives them crazy is that you don't make a hoopla over what they make a hoopla. When the music plays, they party, but you don't. If there's ever, folks, if you can just get through your head, really, an awful lot of walking with God is finding out what they're doing out there and not doing it. It's an awful lot to do with the fact that when they say dance, don't. When they say jump, don't. I mean, if you ever lose your Bible, that's not a bad guide to go by for a short time. Just do the opposite of what they do. It's true. It's just true. What drives them crazy is you don't make a hoopla over what they make hoopla. Most of you discovered when you became a Bible-believing Christian and you cooled your jets a little bit on Halloween, how long it took them to sniff that out and how mad they got that you just chose not to participate. Remember that? When you decided, you cooled a little bit on the whole idea of Christmas or Easter or some of the things that they make such a huge deal out of, And I'm not saying that you're wicked if you open a present. I'm saying that when you decided that it was that you weren't making the kind of big deal that some people made about it, we made a huge deal about it when I was a kid. My mom and dad went into debt every year, and they didn't need to do that, okay? But when you decided not to participate at that depth, it didn't take very long for the fur to hit the fan, did it? When the cable TV guys call and when the DSL guys call and they're trying to upgrade my service, I ain't interested in their service. I have 5 channels. That's too much already, probably. And I am not going DSL. Not DSL. I'm not going cable. I am not going dish. I don't need it. I don't need that. You probably don't either. I know you don't either. I don't need that. You say, well, I just want it for the Discovery Channel. Yeah, but there's a lot more on there. That's the problem. I just want to watch some sports. I want to watch 47 football games at the same time. Problem is, there's a lot more on there than 47 football games, even if you can justify that. Say, what's the point? So the cable guy calls, and I say, nope, don't want any. He said, what do you have now? I said, rabbit ears. He said, what? And at that point, they decide that I'm nuts and want off the phone. Yeah. It's the only time that a salesman wants to go away. He says, oh, okay, well, we'll see you, sir. Goodbye. You know, and it's probably on the phone with the cops or something. You know, saying, man, there's a nut that lives at this address. In this world, the Christian world now, the whole issue is the original manuscripts, the original languages, the original Hebrew, and the original Greek. Did anybody ever stop to think that that might be the world's beat? And I'm supposed to march that beat, and maybe I'm interested in marching that beat. I don't read anywhere in the scriptures that that's the beat that anybody marched to. Did you ever notice that a lot of us are not? I have a whole bunch of different kind of ties in my thing, and some of my ties, this one's kind of thin. But then I have some thick ones. And, you know, thick and thin ties go in and out. And I never notice anymore when they go in and out because I don't care. I mean, I'm still wearing suits that, you know, the single-breasted or whatever, and now the double-breasted are in, or the 3 buttons, or I don't know. I never even noticed when to put them on, but people, sometimes you walk in a room, and people go, like I showed up in plaid pants or something. I mean, really. I understand there's some things that I can't do, but I mean, I don't know the difference between double-breasted and single-breasted and all that kind of stuff. So what's the point, Brother Stevens? Well, I tell you what. They did not esteem the gods of this world. They did not esteem world peace. They did not esteem environmental issues. You know what they're trying to get you to do. They're trying to control what you do. Look, I'm not saying that, well, whatever. Look, I do not recycle. Recycling to me is picking the cardboard out of the trash and burning it in my yard so that I make more room for more trash in my bucket. That's fine. And I have a recycle bin. It's full of water and cat poop and all kinds of stuff. Because I don't know even what's in there. Kids once in a while drop something in there and, you know, it's probably mulch or something by now. I don't know. Because I ain't recycling. Because they keep shoving it at us. And if they're going to come point a gun at my head, okay, I'll recycle. I'll put my milk cartons in there and haul it out to the road. But until then, I ain't going to do it. Because I'm not worshiping their gods. The earth is not my mother. I'm telling you that right now. There's a lot of stuff like that, and I probably don't need to go into it very deeply. So anyway, verse 16. 3. I do not esteem the gods of this world. Okay, they did not esteem. That was an indictment, though. Okay, you don't walk like we walk. You don't march to our beat. And so we're going to kill you for it. Okay? Now, folks, you ain't going to get killed for following the Bible. Chances are pretty good that everybody can imagine scenarios, but chances are pretty good you ain't going to get killed for living the Bible. Okay? So you don't even have to worry about it. All right, there's something else I want you to see. Verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar. Now, he's upset, right? I mean, He makes a real bad tactical error here at the end of verse 15, because he says, "Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" That was what delivered Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego probably more than anything else. When he said that, God said, "Oh, that would be me." But anyway, verse 16, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter." These guys, one of the things that the world indicted them for without saying so much is that they did not answer carefully. They did not consent with the majority. They did not regard the word of man. They did not esteem the gods of the world. And they did not answer carefully. You're supposed to be careful with your speech. You are. You're supposed to be very careful. Now, see, you're supposed to respect their stuff, but they'll kill you for your stuff. But you're supposed to be careful with your speech. Now, I believe in being careful with my speech as a Christian, right? Once in a while, I can get kind of worked up, and I feel like saying things that I best not. I can tell you this. A black guy is a black guy to me. He is not an African American. And the next time that they change the nomenclature, I still ain't changing. There are words I could use that I best not, because basically my Christian principles disallow it. But a black guy is still a black guy. And I refuse to play cowboys and Native Americans. I love you, Eric. Yeah, I'm not playing cowboys and Native Americans. It's still cowboys and Indians, Nick. It is. Right? See, what's the thing? Well, they keep changing the nomenclature on you. I think it's just a test to see what a weenie you are. I mean, all the talking heads on the 6 o'clock news now, they're all weenies because they're the first ones to jump on it. You know, they have to change the way we talk, you know, because da 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 da. Why don't you change it? I'm not changing. These guys were indicted for not answering carefully. I like Moses. You know, Pharaoh is fed up and he's beaten up really bad with all these plagues and stuff. He says, "Get out of my..." This is the Kyle Stevens version, but "Get out of my sight. The next time you see my face, you're going to die." And Moses says, "Thou hast well said. I ain't going to see your face again." Like that. This wasn't too careful. You know, most people would be, okay, backing out, you know. He wasn't. You know, he said, "Oh, okay, fine. No, I ain't going to see your face again." Elijah, "Hey, where's your God?" "Oh, he must be asleep. He must be on a journey." He wasn't careful. You know what I'm saying? Folks, since when did we have to be careful about how we talk? I'm not talking about profanity. I'm not talking about crudeness. But since when, you know, when was the last time I was offended by a honky joke? A big, fat, bald honky joke. I ain't never been offended by one. So why, you know, the next time you look sideways at somebody, are they already offended? See, they did not answer carefully. You know, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, didn't answer carefully. You know, he came out there and the guy says, "Now you make sure and you prophesy to those kings like the rest of those prophets." He says, "Oh, whatever he says, whatever the Lord says, that's what I'll tell him." And the king says, "Well, should we go to battle?" He said, "Oh yeah, go ahead, you'll win." And Ahab hits the roof and says, "How many times have I told you not to speak to me except in the name of the Lord?" He said, "Oh yeah, okay, well you're going to die then." He did not answer carefully. Folks, Jesus Christ did not answer carefully. As a matter of fact, this morning we saw he didn't answer at all when it came to Herod. But there's just an awful lot of times he did not answer carefully. He didn't walk, you know, around on eggshells around a Syrophoenician woman. He didn't. Say, what's the point, Brother Stevens? They are indicted for not answering carefully. I'm not asking you to sass off to a cop. I'm not suggesting you paint something profane, you know, that's just offensive to be offensive, but I like Gip's stickers, bumper stickers. They're pithy. They're straightforward. I like that. Since when couldn't an American be straightforward? Sad thing. They did not answer carefully. You know what else they didn't do? It doesn't say this in so many words here, but they did not fear. Now, maybe they were afraid, but in the end, their fear didn't run them. They did not fear. I've talked to you about it often enough to know that you, often enough for you to know what I'm going to say. They want you scared. That's the only thing, folks. So we have a president who, as far as I'm concerned, is an abomination, elected, and things are weird and upset and unstable, and it'd be easy to get scared. Just remember, you're not supposed to be scared. You're supposed to fear God. But you're not supposed to be scared. You know, one of the indictments against these people is that they could not run them. They weren't like a bunch of cows. They couldn't be spooked. You know, when it came, when the music started blasting, you know, they stood up straight. And when the king indicted them, they stood up straight. And when the guys, you know, tied them up and were carrying them up to the furnace, so they walked peacefully along. They were not afraid. And folks, we need a little bit of that. All right, look in verse 17. We're not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us. Now this is as opposed to verse 14. Why do not ye serve my gods, the gods of Babylon, the gods of Nebuchadnezzar? But verse 17, if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. You know what I appreciate? They did not lower God. They were indicted for not lowering God, for not debasing God, if that's a word, ecumenicizing God. They could have said, oh, yeah, well, yeah, we worship the same, you know, the same God you do. Kind of slur the S, you know. We worship the same God you do. And, you know, if they were in 2008, you know, they would be pastoring a megachurch by now. Because they would have figured out a way to build a church out of the Babylonians and not offend them. Right? You see, they did not lower their God. They said, listen, let's make this plain. Our God is not your God. And our God can do what he wants to. And among the things, if he wants to, he can whoop your God to pieces. Now, whether he will or not is up to him. But just so you know, we ain't backing down. Because our God, if he wants to, can deliver us. And we'll see. You just challenge him, we'll see. Okay? But they did not lower their God. They did not debase him. They did not make him. They did not say, well, you know, Allah is probably the same as us. That's not what they said. It's your God and our God. And they're not the same. One last thing and I'm done, all right? I want you to see that they did not compromise. I know I've kind of talked about it, kind of talked around it a little bit. But they did not compromise. They did not back down. They did not crawdad. They did not crawdad. So they were indicted for being intolerant. They were indicted for being bigots. I've told you before that the Roman Christians were, during the Roman persecutions and so on, they were indicted and convicted and killed for the capital crime of hatred of mankind. And the way that they hated mankind was by telling men that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God and that they all needed to be saved. Okay? But they did not compromise. They were dogmatic. You ever heard of a Christian apologist? That's a Christian who is supposed to write and speak to justify Christianity. But it gets too close to an apology for my tastes. You know what I mean? Don't call me an apologist. All right? I'm a Bible-believing Christian. And, you know, one of the things that these guys were one of the things these guys were indicted for was not compromising. You have a Baptist school in, I guess, New Brighton, Roseville, Bethel, right? It's a Baptist school. No, Killing goes to Bethel. It's just there for nursing. But don't go to Bethel for theology. You know what they believe there? Theistic evolution. That's the theistic evolution school. It's a Baptist school. You don't believe me? Go ask them. All right? See, you don't need that. We don't need to compromise. You know, Schofield says that the earth was shrouded by clouds. No, it wasn't. People are always trying to find a way to yield to science and to yield to psychology, a little here and a little there, and, you know, make it work. And it doesn't work. It's never worked. These guys were indicted for these things. God help us, when this thing is all over with, to be indicted for the same things. I don't know that it's going to cost you. It didn't cost them their lives. They had a couple of questionable moments there. But it has cost others their lives. I doubt it's going to cost you your life. But let us not go to heaven in ease and in backsliddenness without having stood against a bunch of people that for the most part aren't going to hurt us anyway, though they might like to. God help us. I mean, our forefathers stood against fire and sword and beasts and earnestly kept the faith. God help us to keep the faith when nobody's threatening us. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for a good evening this evening, and we pray that you'll bless our time here, perhaps a little bit of fellowship here afterwards. We pray you'd help us to take to heart the words that we've spoken here tonight, and may they be real to us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I don't think we're going to have an invitation tonight. Turns out there's a little surprise party in the offing because somebody had a birthday and somebody's husband wanted to see to it that she had a surprise. We're not 100% sure if we surprised her or not. But everybody say, surprise Liz. Surprise Liz. We're going to have some food back there and so on. We already sang happy birthday to her along with some others here a few days ago, but Steve corrected me. She's over 30. We don't know how much, but she's over 30 now. So let's stand. We're going to have a word of prayer. Bless the food. I don't know if they're quite set up back there or not, but we didn't want to have a long invitation and her spy it out back there and ruin the surprise. So I don't know if we surprised her or not, but let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. And we pray that you'll bless our food and our fellowship here. Glad you've given Liz these years. And it's kind of fun, Father, once in a while to pick somebody out and embarrass pretty well. We pray that you'll bless her and Steve and Stephanie. And are thankful for them. Ask that you'll help this be a blessing to them tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.